This is a Federal News Network podcast.
A bipartisan bill in the Senate would make the National Guard cybersecurity mission more available to state and local governments, especially as the threat to critical infrastructure increases. Federal News Network Scott Mossioni describes the bill in more detail in his latest DoD Reporter's Notebook and joins me now. Scott, tell us about this bill.
So right now, the National Guard only has a certain amount of authority when it comes to cyber attacks and building up cybersecurity infrastructure within critical infrastructure. And what this bill would do is sort of loosen some of those authorities, make it a little bit easier for the National Guard to come into a power plant or to a water treatment plant, something like that, and just help them to bolster cybersecurity. So, you know, if Iran or North Korea decided to attack something like that, they could, repel that attack if they needed to.
And we should point out this is sponsored by Maggie Hassan of New Hampshire and John Cornyn of Texas. So geographically and ideologically dispersed, but they have this idea together. And what does the National Guard think about it? Do they have anything to say?
They haven't said anything about it, but they have been working on something like this for quite a while. They have what are called cyber mission assurance teams, and their job kind of works within those limited authorities that I talked about. And what they do is they assess vulnerabilities to infrastructure that's needed for federal assets. So this would kind of expand things so that state assets might be able to help be helped out, local assets, and also federal assets. So the ones that they've used at this point, Ohio, Washington, and Hawaii, they all have teams for this, and they've been able to mitigate cyber issues within, federal installments and things like that. One thing to bring up is that, the National Guard has been working with cybersecurity for quite some time now. They provide assistance for election security. They also provide assistance when there's certain local governments have their networks taken over and are taken for ransom. They worked in Louisiana when there was some school districts that were having some issues. So not a big problem for the National Guard, which has cyber mission teams, just a matter of getting the authorities that they need to do it.
And first, they just have to get through next week when the election takes place and can probably think about that. And then you're also writing about financially struggling soldiers could get some relief in the terms of loans turning to grants. What's going on there?
After a long year, we're getting some good news at this point. The Army Emergency Relief, which is a government organization, but it's funded sort of privately by corporations and also by soldiers who decide to donate and help other soldiers who are having financial issues to get zero interest loans or, anything, like a possible grant as well. It's a nearly 80-year-old institution. And what they've done is they gave out already millions of dollars in COVID relief, but they're going to be converting some of that, about $1 million of it, to grants that was previously a loan. So imagine getting an email after you had a tough time, maybe paying off your car because your wife or husband or someone lost their job, and you find out that you don't have to pay it back at all, something that's probably really good news for these soldiers.
We had Raymond Mason, the AER director, on a few months ago, and he's pretty committed to this whole idea. It sounds like perhaps their ability to turn these loans into grants is a reflection of an uptick in donations.
Yeah, so they got a lot of corporate donations during the COVID pandemic. And not only that, but a lot of people haven't really been asking for maybe the help that they should have been asking for during this COVID time. In the beginning of things, they saw that they're only really giving out $1 million a month, when on average, they were usually giving out about $5 million. Now that's changed, and they're back kind of on track to do the $70 million a year that they usually give out in loans. So, what General Mason told me was that, it's kind of built within soldiers and people within the military not to really ask for help. They're afraid it might hurt their chances for their career, or, they can tough it out. But he said, this is an issue that it will not hurt you to ask for help. And you should. It's a sign of strength to actually do that when you need to.
This organization was concerned a lot about the hurricane season. That was their big concern this year. But I think the damage to homes and military bases and places where there are large numbers of service members, including Army, just hasn't materialized as much either. the pandemic seems to be the greater issue.
Right. And I should mention they're also trying to convert another $1 million in hurricane relief for people that had to move in emergency situations into grants as well. So another good news story for them. And one thing I really found interesting about this was a lot of the grants and loans that they had given out were because military spouses had lost their jobs. You lose that second income. And the biggest area of people, of soldiers that were asking for these loans were E5 and E6s. It's mostly because those service members are moving off bases. They have children. They have a lot more bills to pay than, you know, someone who's at a little bit of a lower rank and can, you know, take care of living on a base a lot easier.
We're speaking with Federal News Network's Scott Massioni, and I've got to ask you about this question. And the Army is making research investments in augmented reality for dogs?
That's right. Yeah. So people can get a Google Glass. Now dogs can get Google Glass and wear those and see what augmented reality is like. But it may not be as interesting or as exciting as our Google Glass would be. So these dogs are wearing these goggles because they go in to sniff things like explosives or, you know, something that might be dangerous. The problem is that when you have maybe 20 backpacks in front of you, it's hard with just voice commands to tell a dog, go look at that specific backpack. You know, dogs don't know the color blue, or not many do. Maybe some smart ones do. But
I think dogs are colorblind.
Yeah, they may be.
That's right. That's what I've
read. Yeah. So, you know, what this does is it puts a laser pointer on, and they train the dogs to look at and to respond to laser pointers. And then the dog can see the laser pointer, also listen through a walkie-talkie to their trainer, and then go to the bag that they need to see. So it's not very, high-tech sort of AR, but it's an AR that will possibly save lives.
And is this something that is in prototype stage, or do they have some working models that have shown they can work on a dog?
They have one working model, and there's a Rottweiler named Matter who's the one that has been training on this. And now it's in a small business innovation research phase two process. So the Army Research Office is looking into it, and they really think it's going to go into something that'll be really exciting for the future and possibly have commercial implications too, training your dog to go act as maybe a drone camera or something like that.
I guess anything's possible with electronics nowadays. Federal News Network, Scott Massioni, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Be sure to check out his DoD Reporter's Notebook, now online at federalnewsnetwork.com.